So today we're going to talk about something a little bit full circle. I've talked about a lot of things here over the years, as you know. And I a lot of times try out new material on all of you. So thank you for, this is new material. You're usually the first ones to hear these things. Last time I was here, we talked about, I called it a practical walk with God. Because I thought we really needed to focus on the basics of how do we have this walk with God? We may know all about Revelation and all about these amazing whopping events that would make any Hollywood movie look boring. And we know all that and we can tell you all the timelines. But if we don't have a walk with God, what good is it to know all that? Because we will turn the other way. That's just a fact. Without Christ, you will go the other way. Because if that's not true, it means you will save yourself at the end of time. You don't need Christ. You just need intelligence and stick-to-itiveness. You just will do the right thing, come what may, and that's just not the reality. I know some people, and some of you may know some people like this, who have said, you know, I grew up knowing these truths, I understand all that, but you see, when I see things starting to get really crazy, then I'll get serious. Does anyone know someone like that? And you're still praying for them. Now, have you noticed, this is what I've noticed, that the people that say, only when things get crazy, then I'll just, you know, get serious about my walk with God, which by the way, isn't a true walk, right? It's a fire escape. It's at gunpoint. That's not a walk with God. God wants us to come to Him because we love Him. And by the way, if you're struggling with loving Him, go to Him and tell Him that. Say, I just find you not as interesting as all these things that I'm attracted to. And He says, I know. You won't surprise Him. He'll say, I've seen that day in and day out. So come on, let's spend time together, and you will be start finding Him more attractive. But have you noticed that a lot of the people that I've heard tell me personally, well, when things get really crazy and we start to see all these things you guys talk about actually occur, then I'll get serious. And I look around me and I'm now asking myself, you know, how much crazier can things get? Right? I mean, there are things going on right now that 5 years ago would have been considered unthinkable. And they're happening across the globe. I mean, whole governments are going along with things that we're saying, really? Scientists are saying, forget what we've always said about science. This is what it is now because the culture wants us to say it. Unbelievable. So once you have the institutions that you relied on for their intelligence, for their science, for their authority, for their integrity, around the globe to start changing and saying we're throwing that all away, this is the time to get serious. Amen. If you're waiting for it to get crazier, oh, don't worry, it will. But see, none of us know what tomorrow holds. I mean, this is telling us that we can't set dates, but that it is rolling toward us rapidly. Thus the name of this presentation, that the final movements will be rapid ones. Now, some of you recognize that phrase. The final movements will be rapid ones, because that's what we've been told. Some of you have heard that since you're like this. And I see kids here that are like this, you know. Sean did a great job with the children's story. I like that. It's always fascinating to hear about those sort of miracle stories and all of that. But I'll say something I've said many times, and I know I sound like a broken record, but I want to drive this point home to us as a people, because we need reminders. We're humans, and we're frail. So I'm going to remind us all again, including me, when we see those little children that Sean was talking to and people that age, stop saying, raise them well, for they will finish the work. You need to say when a 90-year-old walks past, hey, let's get with them because they will finish the work. Let's get out of here. Let's not put it 30 years into the future so these 8-year-olds will finish it. We assume we'll all be either gone or older. No, let's finish the work, amen? Is that difficult of a decision? The answer is yes, because the world just pulls us in. Back to the topic, the things that I'm seeing going on in the world are moving rapidly. It's like exponential change, is it not? It's not like we have this happen and then a year later this. It's like this happens, which creates these 5 things going on, which create these 25 things. And you look at it and you say, this is unbelievable. This is truly unbelievable. I remember when I was in school, think back when you were in school, what was the cliche teacher that you had? No matter who they were, what class you were in, they all had some things in common, right? They were not going to let you get away with nonsense. Even if they had a good sense of humor, they knew that They're the teacher, you're the student, and you're here to learn math and science. And this is what school is about. And you couldn't picture that teacher or those teachers. It's funny because I've had some I run into in some of my speaking engagements they'll say, yeah, I remember you. And one of them actually spanked me. She hates it when I tell that story. And that dates me, I know, because spanking's not been allowed for a while. But yeah, I couldn't picture her being anything but right on track because she was trusted with children. And now I see things that I say I cannot believe anyone would do that, particularly teachers, and brag about it on social media. Just boast, here's what I'm doing to these kids. It's just unbelievable. And so every time I come here, they have gotten more crazy since the last time. And the Bible said in Isaiah 5, verse 20, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil." For the longest time, what planet Earth was suffering with was that we just liked evil. And people would not even try to debate that it was evil. They just say, yeah, we're doing this thing because you Christians are all squares, and come on, join us, we're having all the fun. It was never that they turned around and said, we're actually being good and holy, you're the evil ones. Now that's happening. You're actually called, many of you here sitting here have, because of your belief, been called inadvertently from someone on TV or whatnot, or someone in leadership, you've been called evil. That's strange, isn't it? Because you're not going along with something that they want you to go along with. Now, we're not going to get into politics in this presentation. I like to say that up front because if you're anything like me and you hear someone get up front and they start wading that direction, you get a little nervous. Because you're wondering, is this person going to agree with me? Or are they going to say something that I'm going to go home and be talking with my wife all during lunch going, I can't believe he said that, and can't believe, none of that will happen. But we are going to discuss some things that cross into politics. Here's why. Politics used to be something that you could go about your life and kind of ignore, and you could say, I'm not into that. I'm not a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, whatever. I'm just not into it. And what has happened over time is it's really become impossible for it not to encroach into your life, right? It's moving. You're not doing the moving. It's moving into our lives. So you almost can't avoid it. So I'm not going to take sides here. I'm not going to say you should go vote Republican, you should vote Democrat, or any of that, because I actually believe that should not be done from the pulpit. Amen? I think we've actually been given counsel on that. As much as you may agree with a person in a party, then there's nothing wrong with that. When a political party or a political leader agrees with a position that you take based on principles, that's fine. That's totally fine. But I don't want to be up front trying to push you one direction or the other. But what's happening lately is that it's actually to the point where when you say, I don't want to take a position on that publicly, I want to mind my business, even that is becoming not allowed. Have you noticed that? No, you need to say you support this. And this could be any one of many things. And if you don't, we're going to say that you're a bad person. So you see people going, well, I don't want to be called a bad person. What is it that got Peter to deny Christ? Was it those, you know, the swords in Gethsemane coming to get Jesus, and he was going to... Did that discourage Peter? No, he actually... Remember what he did? Cut the ear off, and Jesus healed it and said, no, that's not what this is about. But what did get him? Public humiliation. A little girl saying, wait a minute, you were one of his disciples. No, I wasn't, blankety blank. I wasn't. And she said, yes, you were. The power of the public shaming and humiliation is huge. It's massive. And so that is what we're seeing happen again. We're seeing it happen all over again. And so I want you to think about something that happened just over 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to try to keep this current. And this is not going to be our topic. This topic that I'm going to wade into here isn't even going to be discussed. It's the reaction to the topic. I want you to listen carefully to the reaction to the topic. A couple of weeks ago, on May 31st, there was a man in Canada, a Canadian father, who was back in court. And the reason he was in court was to appeal his case, where he got jail time and was fined $30,000 back in 2021 in Canada. Why? Because Canada had a law that he violated, and that law said that he couldn't do or he couldn't prevent doing what he tried to prevent was happening to his, at that time, 13-year-old daughter. His wife decided that the daughter was a son. And so it was going to be time to start giving her medication and all that. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. He went to jail. And his other crime listed, if you look at the listing of his crimes, he actually called his biological daughter her instead of he, because that's against the Canadian law. That's actually illegal. He was put in jail for that. 2 weeks ago, he went to appeal the case again, $30,000, deemed by Canadian media as a bad person. Now, he didn't seek any of this out. This came to him. You see where I'm going? You're going to have things come to you, and it may not be that, it probably won't be that, but you're going to have things come to you, and our scripture reading this morning, and thank you for that, Sean, was that when that happens, you're going to be able to give answers that they can't rebut, but there's a caveat to that, is there not? You're going to need to know what scripture says, because in another place it says the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance those things. So how are we doing with knowing scripture? So that we're counting on scripture and not what our favorite politician says to rebut that thing, or our favorite political commentator. Because some political commentators are really good, are they not? They've got really good answers, and you feel good when you listen to them. You go, yeah, they're on our side. And that's not a bad thing, but is it what you are depending on? I've got this book that tells me all the right answers of the... Well, there's another book called The Bible. See, the reason I'll never get in trouble for any of these talks that I do is if somebody plays them back and tries to, you know, catch me. That's the thing now. People go through all your material and get you on that one thing, then they post it online and you're destroyed. It's because, listen, here's my theme. It'll always be this. And this is the safest thing in the world. The thing you want to do through all of this political nonsense is spend more time in the Bible. I can't go wrong with that. The thing you want to do during this crazy political time is spend more time on your knees talking to God and asking Him for wisdom, and less time with all of the stuff that's going on in our culture. I know it feels fun to debate it. I get that. You want to show that you're right. You want to, you know, give the right answer. And a lot of times, as you remember from the series I did on conversing with serpents and doves, it's how we approach that person. And if we're just winning arguments, but we cost them their soul because they're so turned off to us and our message, that's not a good outcome either. Now, you may say, well, that's Canada. It's no big deal. Those Canadians, you know, that's far north from here. We're Tennessee, all right? Well, California, just on Tuesday, so that was a few days ago, less than a week ago, on Tuesday, there was a Senate Judiciary Committee in California that voted 8-1 to advance Assembly Bill 957. I used to live in California. I love California. It's a beautiful state. But that bill that they passed 8-1 is now going to go on and move through the system to become law. We'll see if it does. But it was advanced from the Judiciary Committee, overwhelmingly 8-1, that would say that parents in California cannot go against whatever their child decides they are. And if they do, they will be, and this is the law's wording, this is the bill's wording, they will be in violation of this, the health, safety, and welfare of the child, meaning that they would be labeled in the exact same category as a violent child abuser. All they have to do is say, we don't agree with what Johnny or Sally says, and she's six. We're going to tell Sally no to what she's saying she heard somewhere, and that is where you violate that. Now, I want you to think about how laws work. If that becomes law, it would mean in California, the ramifications would be to this abuse. It would have to affect schools, churches, hospitals. There's no state that allows child abuse. And so when you redefine what abuse is, that same statute holds that you can't do it anywhere. So if you decide, I have a principle I want to live by, forget political parties, I want to live by this principle, you would be violating the law in America, in the United States, in California. Now, sometimes, like I said before, silence is not an option. But you have to remember that when good is evil and evil is good, there are people who sincerely believe that they are fighting evil with you not taking a position that they like. They believe that. They absolutely believe that. They're serious. Not long ago, earlier in January of this year, Philadelphia Flyers player Ivan Provorov is a Christian, and he plays for the National Hockey League. And on Pride Night, they decided to say all of the players for the Philadelphia Flyers are going to wear a rainbow jersey. This man had not sought out to give any opinion on any of the pride issues. None. He just played hockey and played it well. But he's a Christian. And he said, I don't want to wear that jersey. I don't want to wear a rainbow celebrating something that I don't agree with. But listen to what he said. Here's his exact wording. And listen to how balanced he is here. This is a good example for us. He says, I respect everybody. And I respect everybody's choices. My choice is to be true to myself and to my religion. Does that sound like a hateful person? Think about it. That's the definition of tolerance. I'm literally saying to everyone in the world, you can believe as you want, but I ask the same in return. That sounds loving to me and kind. I ask you to believe what you want and let me believe what I want, but I'm not going to go after you to change you. And he's hearing, but we're going to go after you to change you. You better do as we say, because if you don't celebrate what we tell you to celebrate, then you are a bad person. And even in, once again, Canada, not sure what's going on up there, but in Canada, there was a Canadian TV broadcaster on his television show called Breakfast Television. He was outraged by Provorov. Outraged. He said, the Philadelphia Flyers should be fined $1 million because of what this guy is doing. This is hate. This is horrible. It's evil. And a lot of people on social media piled on and said, that's right. This is a terrible person. This is a man who did nothing to express his opinion about his thoughts on any of these things. It came to him, right? It came knocking on his door. Hey, we're not going to ask your opinion of it alone. We're going to tell you what your opinion is, and you're going to celebrate what we tell you to celebrate, or you're a bad person. So the question is, what is going on here, and where is this going? Okay, now, you and I have an advantage, do we not, for where it's going? We do. All Christians have an advantage. But we have a special advantage because we understand the three angels' messages and how Revelation plays out. So once again, I want you to think about, in light of the end justifies the means of, if you don't do what we say, it's because you're a bad person. Therefore, I mean, I like this example. If you had a chance to stop Adolf Hitler in any means necessary back in the late 30s, would you do it? It's Adolf Hitler. So you're thinking, well, think of the millions of lives that'd be saved if you were in a time machine. That's the logic here. What we're doing is a wonderful thing because these are the bad people. And Jesus said, they will hate you. He said, they will actually, the world will hate you. They will take you up before the authorities. So where is it going? The Bible says in Revelation 13, verse 17, that where it's going is, if you don't go along, you will not be able to buy or sell. Now, that's not hard to believe. When I was a kid, that was, you know, how are you going to pull that off? I guess maybe you try to close their bank account or something, but what if they have got money at home? Now, oh no. In China, they have what's called social credit scores. And what that means, and China, of course, is communist, so they can get away with this instantly. They don't have to get it approved by anyone. But what your social credit score does, and again, I want you to think about all this in light of the spiritual direction that you are in as an individual and that we are in as a people. But if they look at your score, they can pull it up and say, you didn't do X. You didn't agree with this policy. You didn't go and do your good deed that we're calling good. So your score is too low. You can't access your money this week. But if you get your score up, you can. Can you imagine? And that's so easy. That is so easy with digital currency. You remember the Canadian truckers during COVID? They went on strike up there at the border. And what happened? All their bank accounts just frozen. No big deal. Violating the right to buy or sell. But yeah, let's do it because they're protesting. Think about that. How about what you do on social media? Do you realize that everything you do, every conversation you have, every text you've ever sent is stored forever? Now, the phone companies will say, no, we delete it after such amount of time. They don't. If the authorities come and say we want that, it'll magically appear. So as people of God, should we not be careful even with what we put on social media? Even with what we put in private messages, because they have all that too. Facebook has all that. All the apps have that forever. And so we need to be like Daniel, where if they were to go into our social media profile and they were going and look at all our private messages, they would not see anything that they could get us on. Unless it's, of course, that we believe in religious liberty, then, yeah, they'll get us for that. But I'm saying something where we're doing things that are actually wrong. We're saying things that are wrong. Now, if they have all this information, and we're talking about where this is all going, do you think they would use it if they didn't like what you were doing 10 years from now? Or would they say, now that wouldn't be fair, We want to be fair to these people, and that's just too much taking advantage. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan is roaming around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Think about a lion and a lion chasing an antelope. And the antelope goes around a corner of a bunch of trees and the lion is going to cut the antelope off and eat it. Does the lion ever stop and go, that wouldn't be fair? I'm going the long way just like the antelope did because I may be hungry, but I'm not cruel. No, the lion says, I'm doing what it takes to devour that antelope because I'm hungry. Satan is not going to have anything off the table. Let nothing surprise you from here forward. Let nothing surprise you. I've seen things in the past couple years that I was surprised. I couldn't believe was happening. And so this is all coming toward us. And the Bible says Jesus himself in Luke 12:11, it says you'll be brought before the authorities. And Sean just read, your own family will turn you in. Now, this shouldn't sow seeds of suspicion, so you're looking around at your parents going, okay, I need to slide a little further away from them on the pew. Not sure what my spouse or my kids are going to do here. No, but what it's saying is you need to spend your time getting closer to Christ every minute. Amen? Every spare minute, when you got time at home, send up a silent prayer. We talked about that last time I was here. What I call the joy prayer. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. Just throw it up there and say, God, I need help in these three areas. My relationship with you, my relationship with others, and how I view myself. Please help me with that. And he will. And finally, John 16:2 says that they will say that if you aren't doing what they want, they'll try to kill you. And it says that, and they will think they doeth God a service. While they're saying you now have a death sentence, they will be celebrating that they are doing things that please God, not Karl Marx, God. That's who they say that they'll be pleasing. And we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks when I return and we talk about this pendulum swinging the other way. Because right now the pendulum is pretty far one direction, but it's going to have to go a little further before it swings back. So the question is, with all this mounting pressure, how do we navigate all this? What do we do? The Bible says in Luke 21:26 that this was a time when men's heart would be failing them for fear of things coming on the earth. All these things that are happening, saying, I can't believe it. I can't believe, I'm losing faith in one institution after the other. So what is the solution for men's hearts failing them as they look at all this crazy stuff going on? A political party? If you just get registered with that party, then you're going to go right on through it and everything will be fine. A political leader? Debate these people until we get our person in there? How about a political commentator? In other words, I'm not anti having a politician you agree with. I think that's fine. I'm not anti having a political party you agree with. But what I'm saying is, do not let that become what you rely on. Amen? There's a difference between agreement with something and reliance upon that something. I can agree with one party on a certain issue, but over here, hey, maybe this party. I can do what I want with my principles, but I don't want to rely on them. Don't ever rely on them, particularly because we know where that pendulum goes when it swings, and it will swing hard. Former allies of yours will do things that really shock the daylights out of you. You'll say, we finally have power again. And then they'll turn on you and say, yes. Matter of fact, we do. We need to talk. So, as I've looked at the opinions and ideas from both the left and the right about how to get through all this, as we see, particularly our country, but you look at around the world, there's a lot of crazy things going on. And they posit different solutions to how we get through this. What should we do? And some of them I've heard sound sensible as American citizens. They sound sensible. Whether Democrat or Republican, I say, oh, man, some of that makes sense, some of this. But then some of them, the further out you go on the fringes of either side, right, the far, far right or the far, far left, they begin to come up with solutions that sound crazy, right? They suggest things, like violence, this is what we need to do. We've had enough. We need to, by the way, we should be people who are always saying we're not about violence. Amen. There are religious groups that are going to, they're going to have a revolution and all that. We should go on record saying we have no desire to attack anyone physically. We have no desire to demean anyone, put them down, make them feel like a less than. Even if I disagree with someone's lifestyle issue 100%, I better be as loving and kind to them as I can. Amen? Not because of what social media will say, but because God wants us to be loving people. I want to be loving to anybody. Why? Because my life is hopefully an invitation for them to see what they can have. And I don't want them to ever say of me, well, if he's going to be in heaven, I don't want to be there. It doesn't look very appealing to me because look at how he is. The Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. We have to keep this in mind every day. I have to remind myself that I am too easily pulled into looking at all the latest news about all the current events and all this kind of stuff. I gotta not look at it for a day or two because I'll find myself, you know, there it is. There's that phone. Oh, yeah. What's the latest? Oh, you know, it's very appealing. But the Bible says some trust in chariots, some in horses. In wartime, David's talking about wartime here. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. If we only had this, if we had that, we could defeat the enemy. He said, we'll remember and trust the name of the Lord. Isn't that how we should navigate the final events, brothers and sisters? We're going to navigate the final events through knowing the Lord. There's two extremes to everything, right? Jesus died for my sins, so I don't need to study Revelation and Daniel. I don't need to know all that stuff. That's for you crazy, you know, doomsayers. That's a false belief. You do need to know those things. Jesus said it. Blessed is he that readeth and understandeth Daniel. Revelation is something he says we should read. And so that's one extreme where, you know what? I don't need to know prophecy. You do need to know prophecy. But on the other hand, you need to have a walk with God. And that's the fun part. Fun meaning fulfilling, even through those trials. It doesn't mean it's easy. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Right? It's not light because you don't have trials, it's because you have peace, amen? Peace through the trials. Now, here is something interesting. I want to show you something that is a biblical principle, but you see it in play in the politics of today, in the religion of today, in churches. Listen to this. You all are very familiar with this. It's Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Now listen carefully. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. This is the very end of the entire Bible. There's only two verses after this, and the Bible ends. So this is, in essence, the end. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. God says, do not add to what I say. What I say is sufficient. But if any man shall take away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. In other words, both are a death sentence spiritually and eternally. If I say, I've got some things here you need to see. I know the Bible says this, but look at this stuff. And I'm adding, the Pharisees were good at this, were they not? Well, I know God has his commandments, but we're going to add these commandments that you have to do. And if you don't do what we say, you're a sinner. Jesus came along and said, no, you added to it. You made God's word of none effect through your own transgressions and your own rules and your own laws. And if we try to take away and say, well, this part doesn't matter and that part doesn't matter, he says that also will be a big problem. Don't do that. But that is not where that text originates. It's actually, notice it's at the end of the entire Bible when you've just gotten through reading all these prophecies, God says, by the way, pay attention because you're going to have people come along and try to add things to this. And you're going to have other people come along and try to say, part of it doesn't matter anymore. Don't listen to them, he says. It all matters. And you should go with what it is. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, we have the same idea here. When God was setting up Israel as a kingdom, how they would function as a nation, same thing. It says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Same thing. So God says, I am the Lord, I change not. He's consistent. And yet what we see, now you're going to be fascinated by this when we see what are the temptations that we have with our personality styles and types. There are two things that we tend to do when we start straying from God. I bet you can guess what those two things are. We like to kind of feel like that we're in a group that's on track because they're really not as careful, you know? I know we've been told this about reverence in the sanctuary. I know we've been told that, but we want to fill the pews. Forget all that stuff. Yeah, these are the people who understand grace. Let's take away some things. And the other tendency that we have is to go over and say, you know what? We're going to add some things. We need to be strict and watching what everybody does. And if they don't do what we say they should do, we condemn them. And it's all about the law. And there's no grace, right? And so the Bible says in Proverbs 4:27, this is one passage among many that say the same idea. Proverbs 4:27 says, turn not to the right nor to the left, but remove thy foot from evil. In other words, he's got two counterfeits to watch for. One's on the right and one's on the left. One's adding to things and one is subtracting from things. He says, do not turn either way, but keep your foot from evil. And he calls both of those evil because our verse in Revelation said, one is increasing their plagues, the other is taken from the book of life. Both will be not found in the eternal city. Both will be missing. Now think about this. In religion and politics, one side, the Pharisees, adding. The Sadducees, taking away. Oh, I know that you believe in a resurrection, but we don't believe all that. We believe some of that stuff, but not all of it. What about in politics? The same thing. One side is where it's tradition. Tradition matters. We agree with that. But it can become where, by the way, I have some information over here. How many of you have had people, how many of you have a person, a friend, that likes to send you lots of conspiracies about things that they say are happening in 2 weeks? Watch closely. Raise your hand if you know a conspiracy theorist. I'm the only one. Nobody knows? Really? Wow. I have several that send me things and they'll say, Carl, I know you speak at churches. You need to tell them this because this September, this is going to happen and all the banks are going to collapse. Have you gotten your money out? And I'll just calmly say, no, because where do you find that? What's the evidence of that? Well, you got to see this guy on YouTube. He's done the math and he tells us and it fails. And then another one comes up. Well, don't you worry about this next election because this is going to happen. And I know, I got a friend in the military. He's a secret. And he told me that this is, and you say, I don't think it's going to happen. And guess what? It doesn't happen. And the problem with these adding to it, we're adding to it. Yeah, I know we have the three angels' messages, but listen to all this stuff. Come here, secret. They fail and fail again and fail again. And the people that know the faith to which we belong say, if you fail that many times, I don't want anything to do with any of your messages because you people are a cult. You know, we actually have counsel that says not to do all these date-setting things and not to hype everything up and say, here it is, I've figured out all this secret stuff. So God says, these are the people that are adding to it. Come here, secret things. You know it, you've seen it. And the other side, oh, I know what you people have said for thousands of years about families and all of that, but a lot of that stuff's just, that's bad stuff. So we're going to take away from that. We're going to change all that up. We're going to say none of that stuff matters. Why does Satan work this way? Because these are our things we lean toward. You lean toward one or the other, and you get pulled into it very easily. Now, here's the thing. All mistakes, I believe, with honest people, are good intentions pushed too far. I want to say that again. Most people have a good intention that they push too far. They overcompensate. Now, the left's approach to taking away stuff, maybe that they've spotted some things that these people have added, and then they say it's too much. What you're doing is really not representative of what I believe. It really is too much. So they try to offset it, and then they don't stop. They say, well, we can keep taking things away. This is nice. We'll just keep subtracting. So it's a good thing, but they overcorrect. Whereas on this side, they make a valid point. The people on this side of the spectrum say, why is it that we got all these things going on and it never gets shown in the news? We don't see that. They don't report on that, yet we know about it, and so we don't get to hear about it. They're not even telling us what we need. So they're offsetting that by saying, I want to share with you some truth, and you got to go and find it and all that. And while a lot of it may be truth, getting mixed in there, again, is conspiracies and all of that. And so listen, I want to just tell you this. You ready to be humbled a little bit? Because I'm talking to myself too, but I'm going to say you. It's a word I teach people not to say when you're having these conversations. So I'm going to violate my own rule. You are not intelligent enough. You do not have a storehouse of discernment high enough to navigate all of that. You don't. There's not a person alive that can tell me who's really in charge, and they then run this organization, and then behind the scenes, no one on planet Earth is correct on that, because it's all guesswork. You can't know it. And yet we spend hours and hours and days trying to figure out how's this all going. All we need to know is where is it going. We don't need to know all the behind the scenes stuff. And we spend so much time on all of that. So much time on all of that. So this is all represented in the two types of soil. I want to share with you this, something very interesting about the soil, and then we're going to wrap this up. Jesus talked about in Luke 8, verses 5 to 15, he talked about a sower went forth to sow. This is one of my favorite of all parables because it actually contrasts the true gospel with the two counterfeits. And the two counterfeits, again, are adding to or subtracting from. So, do not add to or take away from it. Now, we already talked about how the right tends to add. Oh, this could be religion, it could be politics, it could be anything. It could be management style. This is the manager. This is the manager that says, look, I'm your manager, and you need to do this job. I'm paid to make you do it. I'm not your mama, so I'm not here to care about your feelings. Get back to work. Boom, boom, boom. Policy, policy, policy. You've known manager. You've probably worked for someone like that. This is the manager that says, well, you know, I want to be liked. Come on, you know, it doesn't. I know you're late for the 10th time, but I know you've got things going on at home. Don't worry about it. And other people go, wait a minute, we're working harder over here. We're not a balanced human beings, and our fallen nature are not balanced. We're just not. And so God says, examine yourself to see what type you are. And so think about this. First, Jesus says the soil, the seed was cast, and some of it fell by the wayside. Now, that's not a type of soil. That was the wayside when the seed, which just says is the word of God, it was trampled upon. So the seed never got into that soil. So forget that soil. Those are the seeds that were eaten by birds, never went anywhere. The rest of us actually had the seed implanted. The first type of soil had something added to it. This is very interesting. The first type of soil had something added to it, rocks. Now, when I say added to, I mean they were there for since the creation of Earth, but they were in the soil. The rocks prevented the growth of those plants, did they not? And it says that they sprang up and were fine until the sun and the weather, and then it says, but they hit the rocks, the root. Watch this closely. This helps us at the end of time. The roots could not go deep into the soil. They hit the rocks, and therefore they couldn't survive, and they died with the weather. They looked good, though. There were no thorns. They looked good. The right tends to be about we look good. We're doing the right thing. And it's all underground. You can't see it. Come here, we got secrets for you. But it says, Jesus says, of the second type of soil, it says on this one, it wasn't the rocks. It was something else. Thorns. What do thorns represent in Scripture? Sin. Thorns represent sin. And those thorns are visible. And so what you're seeing today that a lot of you are slapping your foreheads going, what is going on, are people that are in that second type of soil. Because what they're saying is, we're out in the open about this. There's no secrets. Yes, this is our life. It's here for you to see, and we're fine, and we're the good guys. But what is that? What happens to those roots? You remember, you're good students. What happens to the roots that have thorns? It chokes, the thorns' roots choke out the roots of the seed, and they have the same result as the far right does. The right, no roots because of something that's in there added, a stone. The left, no roots because of sin that is clung to. Is that making sense? And now you get to the third type, and it has, guess what? No stones and no thorns. So it also looks good, but it looks good because it has a root deep in the ground, and you and I need to have our roots deep in Christ. Amen? Is this making sense? All right. So what do we do with all this as we close? What to do? Well, I've told you my solution is uncomplicated and to some of you quite boring because I talked about it last time I was here. We need to spend time with God. But on this topic in particular, I want to tell you something. I'm talking to myself here for real. We need to wean ourselves from those first two types of soil. Check yourselves. Am I sliding over to this camp because they got the right answers, or am I way more with these people because they have a lot more fun and they also have the answers? These two types are not talking about you can't be conservative or you can't be liberal. That's not what this is saying. What the Bible is saying is when these things take over. Notice it's when the roots aren't funky. It's not saying if you agree with one political party, get rid of it, don't associate with it. That's all. That's not what it's saying. As long as you have a principle that you live by and a political party agrees with that principle, that is fine. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. It's when you let that overtake your walk with God. And I have so many friends in this faith right here that would rather send me things about all of that and never talk about God. And these are people that are actually active in the church. But they're just not interested because it's so much more exciting to look at these whopping things that are going on in our political world, in our cultural world. This parable was not designed for mere politics. It's talking about every area of our lives. Our church suffers from the same two problems, does it not? And it's the same tactics. There are people in our church that want to go a certain direction with the culture. And if you disagree with it, what are you told? You're a good person. We just disagree. I'd like to hear more. No. You're told you have a problem. You are trying to do things that are hindering people from really what they should be, and you're a bad person. Same tactic. Nothing. The devil knows when something works, and he'll keep using it. We need discernment. I did a whole series here once on discernment. And we need to be ready no matter what angle Satan comes at us from, because there's going to be that pendulum swing. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Remember that? It says the natural man cannot understand them, for they are foolishness to him. So if you are not spending time with God and you see the truth in contrast to these two, you'll go to one of these and call the truth foolishness. That is a fact. That's not just, well, maybe. Take your chances. Maybe. No, it's the Bible saying you will call it foolishness. At the end of time, those people that are saying, well, I'll wait till all the signs and wonders, they will call the truth foolishness. This, because they don't have a spiritual heart, is foolishness, and they'll go along with it. I had a prodigal journey in my own life. Some of you read my book, you understand that when I graduated from this area, I went out to Hollywood trying to become an actor. Oh, all these wonderful plans. And I remember saying to God, driving down the 5 freeway, looking at all the haze over Los Angeles, 18 years old, and I could feel God was saying, this is not for you. And I said, God, I have to do this. And then I'll give my life to you. And so my career went so far that my journey was cut short. And I'd like to say that was because God cut it short. But I think talent and lack thereof was really why it didn't get very far. God just said, Carl, do your thing because you're not going very far. Just go ahead. And I came back. But Satan's traps are for all of us. And where he really gets us, he says, look over here. You see this shining thing? And then the pendulum swings and he gets us because we feel good that it's now on our side. And we walk right into his trap. We, brothers and sisters, need supernatural balance that we don't possess. And balance does not mean compromise and it does not mean moderation, right? We're not told that we should sin less often. Sin in moderation. Balance means a spiritual discernment that God gives us that we don't naturally have. And the last time I was here, those three things, keep them in mind. Time with the in the Word, time with in prayer. You can't get any safer than this. And time sharing what you know. Because folks, there's so many people out there that are confused because guess where they are? They're right here and they're believing every second of it. Or they're right here and they're believing every second of it. And they don't have Christ. And you and I are the conduit through which God can work. The Bible says to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, Paul tells us, examine yourselves to see what's going on. Who do you trust, the chariots and the horses or God? We'll close with this. You remember we said in Luke 21, 26, it says men's hearts would be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's still to come. But the Bible also says about this fear thing in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. It casts it out. And when you have that fear cast out through Christ, you can live by His promises. So for some of you, I advise cut back on your involvement in a lot of the political debates, cut back on your usage of your smartphones and so forth that you're spending time like I've been guilty of. doing all that instead of God's word? For some of you, I would say, and don't elbow the person next to you, but for some of you, I would say, because of how you are, you need to cut it out completely because it's an addiction for you. And you know who you are. It's too overwhelming. You love it too much. And what do? We live by the word. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 4 says that we live by these promises, and through these promises, listen to this, we can be partakers of the divine nature. Is there a political party that can give you that? No. God will guide you with his eye. Psalm 32, verse 8, I'm giving you these promises here. I want to leave you on something positive. God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32, verse 8. James 1, 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you. The Bible says in Psalm 69, verse 6, if you seek him, you will not be confounded. Raise your hand if you don't want to be confounded by any of this craziness in our culture. You would love to be able to say, I can navigate that because Christ has given me the answers. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, in fact, let's say it together. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I've had people say, Carl, I don't think I can make it through these final events. It's too much. I said, have you read Isaiah 26:3? It literally says that you will have peace through all of that. It won't be fun, but you'll have peace. The key is to keep our minds on him. And the Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 5, that you, if you seek him, will understand all things. Do you believe it? Do you believe you'll understand all things that you need to understand? He says it. I don't think he's a liar. I think God means it. From the book From the Heart, page 179, we have this passage. I love this. Listen to this. Talk about good news. I'm trying to give you some good news here. Heart, From the Heart, page 179. Nothing but Christ's loving compassion, his divine grace, his almighty power can enable us to baffle the relentless foe. Baffle? Satan? Yeah. Baffle relentless foe and subdue the opposition of our own hearts. Oh, but I want this stuff so bad. These people have all these secrets. Or these people have all these fun. Oh, they know how to celebrate Jesus. This is saying that it's our own hearts opposing us that we can overcome. What is our strength, we're told? The joy of the Lord. Isn't it nice that the solution to all this is having joy? Joy of the Lord is our strength. Let the love of Christ fill our hearts, and then we shall be prepared to receive the power that he has for us. We're seeing craziness, brothers and sisters. I know churches of every denomination that feel like we're losing a battle. They're emptying out. Fewer and fewer people are going. They're like, what are we going to do? People fall into depression. They feel like they're being attacked on all sides. Young people, old people. But that pendulum is going to swing. In fact, when you see what the swinging is a little preview to 2 weeks from now on July 1st when I give you part two. The only way that the events that really end all things in Revelation happen is when the people of the United States reach a point, it is so bad, that they go to the government and say, we want these laws, pass these laws, enough is enough. And we're not there yet. It has to get worse. Buckle your seatbelts. It has to get so bad that those people, all these people that are good people that are tired of it, are willing to say, we're taking action now, and we're not kidding anymore. We're for real. The tactics that are right now being used to go against traditional beliefs are going to be harnessed by the other side right over here. Right now, this side's got the power. This side will have it soon. And they will add to God's commandment. He says, is a way to have your plagues added to. That's not a coincidence. Last passage, and then we'll pray. Whoever's able, we will kneel and pray together as a family. Are we a family? Do we need each other? I know I need you. You have strengths that I don't have. God did not give any one of us all that we need. Amen. In the end, there's going to be a group of people who are very, very reduced to a small number. We need each other, brothers and sisters. We better be helping each other, and we better pray that everybody in our circle of influence is part of that group. And let us be a conduit through which they want to be a part of that group. Here's our final quote. Last Day Events, page 11. I recommend the book highly. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. The globe is starting to say, let's agree on some things here, that way we can run this place a little smoother. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. Dear Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our sins. I know that with a number this size, there are people in this building that as they look at their lives, as they look at their recent lives, they are guilty of the same thing that I've been guilty of, and that is spending too much time with the opinions of the world. Spending too much time and putting too much faith and hope in people. When, Lord, you say you're in charge, you say nothing catches you off guard. And Lord, help us that when we get discouraged about what's happening in our country, when we get discouraged about what we see happening even in our beloved church, help us not to go into despair and say, well, just forget it. There's no hope. But to know that you are in charge. And Lord, if you're in charge, even if it means we get lots of disappointment, let us remember that that is the path that you said we needed to be on. And you've placed us in this time for such a time as this. So we can be a shining example to others of what that supernatural balance looks like, where we stand up to sin, Lord, but we indeed do love every sinner. And that through us, they can see you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.